In today's Mishnah, we're in the first and second Mishnah from the second Perek of Masechta Sanhedrin. And in yesterday's Mishnah, having mentioned the fact that the Kohen Gadol, if he committed a capital offense, that it wouldn't be sufficient to try on the Beit Din of 23, it would require a Beit Din of 71. The Mishnah now discusses other differences with respect to a Kohen Gadol, and also to a Melech, as we'll say in the second, meaning a king in the second Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, Kohen Gadol, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, it says, Dan v'daninoto. Not only can he act as a judge, he can be a Dayan, he can be part of the Beit Din, and he can also be judged, as we mentioned yesterday. Now, it's important to mention the fact that he can sit as part of the Beit Din, because one might think that it wouldn't be appropriate for him to be part of the Beit Din, since if the other judges disagreed with his opinion, it might be considered a slight on the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is teaching us that he can be part of the Beit Din. Next, he can act as a me'id, he can act as a witness. Importantly here, the Gemara says this is referring to if he was only witness, say, to a ben melech, to the son of a king, say, a prince. However, in general, we say it's not for the kavod of the Kohen Gadol to appear at any court case. Umedinoto, what the Mishnah says is that witnesses can come in front and testify even against him in the case of the Kohen Gadol. As we've already explained, that the Kohen Gadol, since it can be tried, then witnesses would clearly be able to testify against him. Next is choletz v'choltzin le'ishto. If his brother passed away without having any children, then he can perform the mitzvah of chalitza, which is the process through which we explained that she would be free to go marry anyone who she pleases. And similarly, for choltzin le'ishto, say if he passes away without having children, the surviving brother of the Kohen Gadol would be able to perform chalitza. It's the woman performs chalitza on him, but let's say the process of chalitza is being performed. Mishnah continues, U'miyabim et ishto, aval hu enu miyabim. That if he passes away without having children, the surviving brother, assuming that brother doesn't also become a Kohen Gadol, if he's just a regular Kohen, then he would be able to perform Yibum, because a regular Kohen is allowed to marry an almana, allowed to marry a widow. However, in contrast to him, meaning the Kohen Gadol, if he is in the situation that his brother passed away without having any children, he wouldn't be able to, it says, aval hu enu miyabim. He wouldn't be able to perform Yibum because he's not allowed to marry a widow. Let's continue. Why? As I just explained. Met lo met, eni yotzer achar mita. If, unfortunately, a relative passes away, even his father or mother, the Mishnah says, eni yotzer achar met. He doesn't follow the coffin. He doesn't go along with it. Because it says, v'al kol nafshot met lo yavo, lavivim lo yitama. He cannot go along and he cannot become tamer for the purpose of his mother or father. This is unique to a Kohen Gadol. It says, elo what would happen? Elo hen nichnasim v'hu nigla, hen nigla v'hu nichnaseh. So what he can do, he can sort of escort the coffin until it exits the city in a manner that he is not in the same street as the coffin and the entourage is going, such that they'll only enter that particular street when everyone's left, and similarly he'll make sure that if they're coming to the street where he's located, he will move out of it. Now he can continue in this manner until he reaches the Petach Ha'ir. Once it leaves the city, he wouldn't be able to follow in such a discreet fashion, so that's where we would end, according to Divrei Rebbe Meir, according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Because it says, Min HaMikdash lo yetzeh, you should not leave the Mikdash. So according to Rebbe Meir, he understands Min HaMikdash means from his Kedusha. So therefore, as long as he's in a concealed manner, he'd be able to somehow go along with the coffin, as we've explained. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ein Yotzeh Min HaMikdash, he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash at all, because Rabbi Yehuda understands the pasuk literally. When it says, Shneemar, Min HaMikdash, from the base of Mikdash lo yetzeh, he's not allowed to leave. And let's continue. Ukushum menachem achirim, if he's performing nichum avelim. And this is referring to specifically when they were returned from the burial and everyone would line up to comfort the mourners. It says as follows, Derech kol ha'am ovrim bezeh achar zeh. Generally what would happen is that everyone would pass by the avelim and offer them comfort, the hamemuneh. However, the skan would be mematzo beino levein ha'am. The mumuneh here, the skan, refers to the deputy Kohen Gadol. This is the Kohen who is nominated to stand in for the Kohen Gadol if something happens to the Kohen Gadol such that he's not able to serve. If some sort of psul, something happens to him, so either some sort of blemish or tumor that doesn't allow him to, say, serve in Yom Kippur. So the Mamuneh would be stationed to the right of the Kohen Gadol, such that the Kohen Gadol is now in the middle, with the arm being to the left. This is all part of his kavod. It says, Ukusha mitnachem macherim. If, however, he's receiving comfort, meaning other people are coming to comfort him for a loss, then kol ha'am umrim, everyone would say, Anu kapratcha. We should act as your atonement, meaning any punishments coming towards you, we should bear. V'hu omer lahem, and he would respond, Tit baruchu min ha-shamayim, you should be blessed from shamayim, meaning he returns a bracha towards them, having presented this request, Anu p'karpatcha, and the mission continues, after the kfura, The first suda the Avilim eat, the mourners eat, isn't from their own food. It's the suda Havara, other people give them food. So what would happen is, when they would bring him food, Kola Amusubi Mala Aretz, they would join in his tsar. They would sit on the floor, Vahu Meisev Al Safsal, and he would sit on a bench. Due to the cover of the Kohen Gadol, he would be seated higher than them. Let's now learn Mishneh Bet. Hamelech Lo Dan Velo Daninoto. When it comes to a king, in contrast to a Kohen Gadol, he would not be judged and would not judge him. Now, importantly, the Gemara explains this is only referring to Malchei Yisrael and not Malchei Beit David. Firstly, Malchei Beit David, we know from Psukim and Yirmiyahu that they did judge, so therefore Danim ve'daninoto. Because Beit David Kama Hashem dinu lavoker mishpat ve'tzilu gazul miadoshek. That's a pasuk that's suggesting that David HaMelech, actually, or Beit David, I should say, would judge. However, why the exclusion for Malchei Yisrael? And that relates to a story with Yanai HaMelech, as Kanti elaborates, and he explains that Yanai HaMelech, who was one of the Malchei Yisrael, his eved killed an individual, and since his eved is considered his mum and his property, he had to be present during the trial. And so when the witnesses came to testify, it says, Shimon ben Shetach said, stand up, and so they can testify. And understand that you're not standing up for our kavod, you're standing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yanai responded, well, I'll only do so if all your chaverecha would agree with your request, meaning the other dayanim. Shimon ben Shetach looked to the right, looked to the left, and the other dayanim, they were scared of Yanai HaMelech, and they put their face to the floor. And then what did Shimon ben Shetach says, Bali machshavot atem, yavo bala machshavot v'yiframechem. Basically, he curses them and says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and repay you for your attitude, your reactions here. And what happened? Gabriel came and killed them all, the Malach Gabriel. And then as a result of that, Atosha, they said, since this situation occurred with Malchei Yisrael, a bit of a long story here, just to fill in the gaps, that's why they say, V'kam Malchei Yisrael, melech lo dan v'lo daninoto. The Mishnah continues now, and likewise, for the same reason, lo me'id v'lo me'ininoto. He wouldn't present himself as a witness, and he also wouldn't, people wouldn't testify against him. Some people say that even Malchei Beit David wouldn't act as a witness, because it's a bizoyon lamelech. It's considered a disgrace for a king to present himself in front of Beit Din, in the context of a witness. However, for Malchei Beit David, they would testify against him. Next, lo choletz. If his brother passed away without having any children, the process of chalitza would not be performed with the king. Why is that? Because the Yavama would spit in front of it's part of the process of chalitza, or in front of this brother, and that would be a gnai for the melech to endure this process. V'lo choltzin li'ishto, similarly, if the king passed away and they didn't have any children, they would not perform chalitza with the wife of the king, surviving wife, and that is because one is not allowed to marry, as we'll learn towards the end of this Mishnah, one is not allowed to marry the widow of a king. It says, Lo me'abem. Similarly, the king would not perform Yibum v'lo me'abin ishto, and Yibum would not perform to his wife. To explain, if you recall, as opposed to Chalitza, in the case where the man passed away without any children, the surviving brother can perform Yibum when he effectively marries her. So, Lo me'abem, it's not kavod ha'melech to perform Yibum, because he would be considered tafel, secondary to his brother, because the first child that is born as a result of Yibum would be Al Shem Achiv Amet, carrying the name of the brother. So according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, that would not consider covered a melech to do Yibum. But Lo Me'abim L'Ishto, likewise, it wouldn't perform Yibum to his wife, as it would explain that one is not allowed to marry the widow of the king. As the Rebbe Yehuda says, no, Imratza Melech, if the king wanted to, Lachlotz or Le'abem, if he wanted to perform Chalitza or Yibum, meaning do the mitzvah, then Zachru Latov, then that would be considered a praiseworthy thing to do. However, Amru Lo Chachamim says, Ein Shomin Lo, meaning we do not listen to him. Even if he wants to perform the mitzvah, Kon Rabbi Yehuda says, he says a good thing, Chachamim says, it's actually not. Why? Because the kavod of a king is not his to treat lightly or just to forego. As it says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, that the aima, this fear of the king, has to be placed on everybody, and it's not his to forego. It says, Ve'ein nosin al manato. Now, back to the point that I just mentioned, that one is not allowed to marry the widow of a king. On this particular point, Rabbi Huda says, Noseha melech al manato shel melech, that a king, the next king, is able to marry the almana, the widow of the previous king. Why? Shechen matzunu b'David. We find by David HaMelech, Shasa al manato shel Shaul. We find that he married the almana, the widow of Shaul, as it says, Ve'etna lecha et beit adonecha, ve'et neshei adonecha bechekecha, that is given to you, he is a neshei adonecha. The suggestion is here that it seems to imply that it's actually his wives, the wives of Shaul, were given to David HaMelech and he was able to marry them. However, the Tanakhama says no. It doesn't mean the wives, it simply means the nashim, the women of the household of Shaul HaMelech, that he was able to marry halachically, that were mutar to him, those are the ones he was able to marry. And examples of that is Merav and Michal, which were the daughters of Melech Shaul. Those are the Mishnah today.